As you perhaps remember from last week, the mic was giving a little trouble, the portable mic, and it's gone this week, so evidently it's getting fixed. So I'll be working just with this one, and I'll try to remember to stay close enough to it that I don't lose the volume for you, but bear with me as we deal with that this morning. This morning we'll be reading from God's Word, from the book of Exodus chapter 30, and then also from the book of Philemon. First, Exodus chapter 30, and I'll be reading the first 10 verses of Exodus 30, and then we'll go over to the book of Philemon, which comes right before Hebrews. The Word of God, as it comes to us from Exodus 30, let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. It is to be square, a cubit long and a cubit wide, and 2 cubits high. Its horns of one piece with it. Overlay the top and all the sides and the horns with pure gold, and make a gold molding around it. Make 2 gold rings for the altar below the molding, 2 on opposite sides to hold the poles used to carry it. Make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the altar in front of the curtain that is before the Ark of the Testimony, before the atonement cover that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron must burn fragrant incense on the altar every morning when he tends to the lamps. He must burn incense again when he lights the lamps at twilight. So incense will burn regularly before the Lord for the generations to come. Do not offer on this altar any other incense or any burnt offering or grain offering, and do not pour a drink offering on it. Once a year, Aaron shall make atonement on its horns. This annual atonement must be made with the blood of the atoning sin offering for the generations to come. It is most holy to the Lord. And then I want to read from the book of Philemon, the first 7 verses of Philemon, which comes right before the book of Hebrews and after the book of Titus. Paul's letter to Philemon, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Artipas, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Thus the reading of God's Word as it comes to us from the books of Exodus and Philemon. With the recent invention of email, the last 6-7 years, I find myself receiving a lot of prayer requests, more than I ever used to. On a weekly basis, I'll receive prayer requests from OPC World Missions, OPC Home Missions. I receive prayer requests each week from the Presbytery, from area ministers, and even area churches here locally. And finally, I even receive a number of prayer requests, even within our own congregation, as you do also. And sad to say that when all of these prayer requests come in, sometimes I fail to faithfully pray for them as I should. In fact, sometimes it seems like I receive so many prayer requests that I often find myself reading the prayer request as a source of information to find out what's happened, and then perhaps not even praying at all. When we come to the book of Philemon, and you look at verse 4, you will see that it would seem that rarely a prayer request would pass the Apostle Paul by. In verse 4, he writes, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." Now, some of your translations may have the wording slightly different. But the point is that Paul is praying and praying to give thanks always. And as he writes this personal letter to Philemon, he is thanking God always, he tells him, for Philemon in his prayers. What does Paul mean when he tells us that he prays always? What is Paul saying? Does it really mean that the Apostle Paul is praying always, 24 hours a day? Well, the phrase that Paul uses is a common phrase in his other letters also. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, we read that Paul writes, "God is my witness how I always in my prayers remember you." In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he tells them, "I always thank God for you in all my prayers." In Colossians 1, verse 3, we read, "We always thank God when we pray for you." And even in the letters where the apostle doesn't use the word always, he uses similar words which mean the same thing. In the book of Ephesians, he writes, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers." Is it really true that the apostle is praying all the time? What does he mean when he writes to those who read his letters that he's praying for them always? What has happened in the history of the church is that Christians have tried to understand Paul's words, Paul's use of the word always, in light of their very own prayer life. And in doing that, they rob the word that Paul uses of its very power and what Paul is seeking to say. There are some who look at Paul's words and his use of the word always, and they say, surely Paul doesn't mean that he's praying always. What Paul means is that he is concerned about them, and he exaggerates the use of the term and what it means to pray simply as an expression of love for them. How often don't you hear Christians say, or perhaps you've said it yourself, when you hear someone in trouble, "I'll pray for you." When you hear that someone has experienced a loss or is in great need of comfort because of sadness, you'll say, "Well, I pray for you," or you'll put it on a card. Maybe later you've had someone come to you and say, "Thank you for praying," and you felt bad because you forgot. How often haven't you heard government leaders come forth and say in a time of tragedy, "Our prayers are with those who have suffered loss." And as you're listening to the person who's saying that, and you've heard them say and express other things about God, you wonder who it is they're praying to, or if they've ever prayed at all. And so what has happened in recent times to the word, "I'll pray for you," or "I'm thinking of you always," is that the phrase has become an expression of love. It's something nice to say to somebody who is in need of comfort. And so it is said to them as an expression of love and loyalty to them. when little praying goes on at all. Some have said this is what Paul is doing. But this isn't what Paul is doing. There are others who say, well, what the apostle means when he tells us, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, what he is really doing is falling back on his regular prayer time. It was common in that day that the Jews would pray morning and evening as their regular prayer time each day. And so, as Paul, who was a former Pharisee and a well-practiced Jew, no doubt some have said, is what Paul means is that during his regular prayer time, he remembers Philemon and the other churches in his prayers. But he doesn't really mean, they would say, that he prays always. It's just during the regular times of the day that he prays, he remembers to pray for Philemon and those who are around him. But why then the use of the word always, if that's what Paul really means? Still others have said, when Paul uses the word always, he doesn't necessarily mean that it's when he prays on a regular basis. But what Paul is really saying is that when the person comes to mind that he's praying for, he will pray for them. In other words, when Paul is praying for that person, his intention is that he will pray on a regular basis for them. But if that person's mind, that person being Philemon, doesn't come to his mind when he's praying, he may forget to pray for him. And it's possible that he may not even be praying for Philemon at all if it doesn't come to mind. But Paul can still say, I always thank God for you and I remember you in my prayers, because his intention is to pray for that person. That's his goal, that's his plan, and even though he doesn't reach his intention, at least he's trying. Now perhaps you're wondering why the long introduction here and the different ways to understand what others have said. And the reason for that is because the reasons that people give for trying to explain what Paul is doing is so typical of the Christian's prayer life. Have you ever used "I'll pray for you" simply as an expression of love when you never did it? When someone is in need, do you remember them in prayer more often than just perhaps your prayer before meals or before bedtime, your regular prayer time? Have you told someone, I'll pray for you, and fully meant that that's what you would do? Yet, when you're praying, you forgot. And it just so happened that once in a while that person came to mind, and then you prayed for them. But if they didn't come to mind, you didn't pray for them at all. Very typical of the believer's prayer life. And the true explanations, or the well-sought explanations, of what Paul is trying to say. But you see, when the Apostle Paul writes a letter, and he tells those who he is writing to that he is always praying for them, that he is always giving thanks for them, the apostle is very sincere and very sure of what he means. It is not just an expression. It's not just his regular prayer time. It's not just about when they come to mind. But he is dead serious about the use of the word always. But what does it mean then when he's telling us that he prays always? Paul's use of this word starts in heaven itself. Now, we read this morning as we began from the book of Exodus, chapter 30. And we read of the altar of incense. And as you know, the altar of incense, the Old Testament tabernacle, is a picture of the New Testament heaven. It was the Old Testament representation of what someday would take place in heaven. And there in that tabernacle, in the Holy of Holies, we had the Ark of God. And God's presence was there with his people. And before that ark was the curtain blocking the way from the holy place into the Holy of Holies. And right before that curtain, right at the entrance to the Holy of Holies, was the altar of incense. And each morning, as we read, Aaron would go into that place, the holy place, and he would burn the incense, the sweet-smelling incense that the Lord had instructed him to make. And it would burn with the smoke going up at the entrance to the Holy of Holies. Each morning and evening, Aaron did this as he represented the people as the high priest, offering up the incense, rising before the Lord. Well, you know, in the New Testament, we also have a high priest, and he is much greater than Aaron, for he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And where is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's in heaven. And if you look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, we read that Jesus is in heaven, busy in the presence of God, as Aaron was busy in the presence of God. In Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 23, we read this. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in that office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus Christ, the book of Hebrews tells us, lives to intercede in heaven. He is a permanent high priest. He's not like Aaron, who later on passes away and his son has to take over. Jesus Christ is there as the risen Lord in the presence of God, living to intercede for his people. And the Apostle Paul belongs to Jesus Christ. Remember what he wrote to the Philippians. For to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He wrote to the Galatians, for I am crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. See, the Apostle Paul recognizes that Jesus Christ lives to intercede in heaven. And as Paul understands his union with Christ, that he belongs to Christ Jesus, he seeks to imitate him in his life. As Jesus is in heaven interceding for him, Paul seeks to pray and to intercede for the saints. He joins the Savior in his intercession. In fact, if you turn to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 5, you will see this explained even further. For John, when he writes the book of Revelation, is looking into heaven itself. And in Revelation 5, verse 8, it tells us this. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You see, the incense that was at the Old Testament tabernacle that was burnt, the smoke that was rising up to heaven, that was, according to Revelation, the prayers of the saints. As the saints are praying, Their prayers go up before the Lord as the incense rose before the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament tabernacle. Turn over to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, two chapters over. Starting at verse 3. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. You see, Paul recognizes what it means to pray always. The Apostle Paul recognizes the important part that his prayers and the prayers of the saints play in heaven. Paul recognizes that his Savior is in heaven, his true high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul recognizes that he belongs to Jesus Christ and his life is bound in Jesus Christ. He recognizes that the saints, those who belong to Jesus Christ, are also united with him. And together, as Christ intercedes, as the saints pray to God, incense is rising in heaven. Intercession is being made. As Paul prays, he participates in the intercession that Christ is making in heaven. As Paul prays, he lives out his union with Christ on this earth. Why does Paul say over and over again in all of his letters that he prays always? And who is he praying for? He's praying for the saints. Why is it a repeated pattern in his life that he's saying and doing again and again every day of his life? Because he recognizes that as he prays, he lives out his union with Christ. He recognizes that as he prays, he is intercessing with Christ as those prayers of the saints rise up to God in heaven. As God smells that sweet-smelling incense, he smells and knows the sweet prayers of the saints. Now, Paul tells us that he prays always. And someone might ask, well, does that mean that Paul prays 24 hours a day? How would he have time to eat? How would he have had time to write the letter to Philemon and his other 12 letters if he prayed 24 hours a day? No, it doesn't mean that Paul prayed 24 hours a day. But as Paul belongs to Christ, as he has union with Christ, as he understands his union with the saints all over the world who pray with him and whose prayers are being offered, he recognizes that intercession is being made in heaven all the time. Can you imagine Christ stopping to or quitting intercessing for you? Of course not. Christ is always intercessing for his saints. Christ is always in the presence of God. He doesn't take a break. And as Paul belongs to Christ, as Paul belongs to the saints, in principle, he is always praying. As you belong to Christ, as you have union with Christ, as you identify with what's going on in heaven, you are always praying. But you're still on this earth, aren't you? And while on this earth, it doesn't mean that you're praying all the time. It doesn't mean that the Apostle Paul was praying all the time, 24 hours a day. But he was consciously aware of his union with Christ, of the prayers of the saints that were going up for him in heaven. And as he lived on this earth, he prayed a lot. Now, someone could say to me, well, how often did Paul pray? Did he pray every morning and evening, as some have said? Did he have all-night prayer vigils where he didn't sleep all night and just prayed all night long? He probably did. Did he have days where he didn't even eat, but he probably spent the whole day praying? We don't know for sure, but he probably did. You see, God hasn't revealed to us how much Paul prayed. God hasn't given us instructions in the Word how often we should pray. Because prayer isn't a work. Prayer is because of your love for God. Prayer is because of your love for the Savior and for the saints. And as you pray, your love for God and the saints is being expressed because you identify with your Savior who is praying for you. We don't know exactly how much Paul prayed, but we do know he was ever conscious of his union with Christ and what takes place in heaven for him each and every day. And we know he prayed a lot. What about you? Are you conscious of your union with Christ and what it means to imitate him? God has given you an opportunity, even now on this earth, to demonstrate your union with Christ as you pray to him and as you pray to others. You have the opportunity to participate in the prayers of the saints that go up in heaven when you pray. But if you're not praying, if your prayer life isn't very good, that means you're not identifying with Christ. You're not identifying with your union with him. And your desire to live for him is fading. What a privilege it is to pray. What a way for Paul to express himself in his purpose to identify with Christ. Even though he may not be praying 24 hours a day, even though you may not be praying 24 hours a day, that's not what God requires. What God requires, what God wants you to do, is to live out your union with Christ by faithfully praying to him, faithfully praying for the saints, faithfully imitating Christ, who is in heaven interceding for you, so that the prayers of the saints may go up forever with his grace and with his blessing from you. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that as we think of our Savior and what he has accomplished for us and how we identify with him, that you may give us the desire to pray for him, to pray to him and to pray for others. Father, help us to recognize the union we have with one another. As we think of Paul praying to Philemon, a man who he may not have ever even met, it did not stop him from praying always and giving thanks for the saints that you have put with us on this earth. As others ask us to pray for them, may we consciously remember to pray for the saints. for those who belong to you, to give thanks for them. May you motivate us, not by works, but by our love for Christ and our desire to live out our union with Christ here on this earth as we imitate him. Help us to consciously think of how the prayers go up in heaven. Help us to consciously remember what a glorious opportunity you have given us to participate in those prayers. May this be our motivation, our love for you, our love for the saints. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.